This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life.
Isaiah chapter 61. We are in the second part of a series that I started last Sunday on the subject emotional healing, the healing of the inner wounds. Ladies and gentlemen, I've learned that the deepest, most painful wounds are not necessarily those that are physical. It's those that are emotional and those that are spiritual. And I'm so glad that God came not only to heal our bodies, He came to heal our spirits and make us whole. Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus quotes these words in Luke 4, speaking of Himself. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The death of loved ones, divorce, the betrayal of a trusted friend or relative, the failure of a business or a career, an accident, a tragedy, something that has left you bleeding and perhaps bitter and wounded and disillusioned and directionless. Anybody ever been there? I have. God, why? Why has this happened? Why did you allow this in my life? Last week, we began by giving you steps toward emotional healing. We said that step number one is to accept what you cannot change. Accept what you cannot change. The prayer of serenity says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. That is in your notes. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And I said last week that acceptance begins the healing process. Acceptance eliminate some of the hurt, not all of it, but it's the beginning point. Step number two, I said last week, was to stop playing the blame game. Stop blaming God. John 10:10, we quoted last week, says, the thief comes but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it abundantly. We looked at the life of Job, how that God allowed Satan to bring a test, but only so far. The Scripture says that God will not permit us to suffer more than what we're able, but He will, with the test and the temptation, provide a way to escape. God is not going to allow you to go down, ladies and gentlemen. He'll allow you to be tested. He'll allow you to be tried, but He will not allow you to be destroyed. So stop blaming God. And I'll be very honest with you. For many years, I was bitter at God over some things in my life. I had to forgive God. We said to stop blaming others. To blame others is to be a judge and a jury for which none of us are qualified. Sometimes blaming others is a cop out of our own responsibility. As Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Remember that? And if it hadn't been for that person, and so we focus, and I said that nothing is ever 100% anybody's fault. It may be 90-10, it may be 50-50, it may be 90-10 the other way, but I have to leave that person up to God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God will deal with the other person. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We have to learn to release what other people have done to us. Then number three, we said, you stop blaming yourself. And I said last week, you need to stop nailing yourself to the cross, because Jesus was nailed to the cross for you. He took your sin. He took your shame. You don't have to carry that any longer. Christ became your redemption. So forgive yourself and walk in freedom. Today, we're going to be looking at step three of this process of emotional healing. And step three is to make the wonderful discovery of who God says you really are. Our scripture in your notes is John 1, verses 11 and 12. Speaking of Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons, or if you will, daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came unto his own. He came to the Jewish community. They rejected him. So he turned his love to us who were non-Jewish, and most of us are of Gentile background, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said we would become his children. He gave us power to become his sons. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs. You know what an heir is? It's someone that has received the inheritance. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be frank with you. I don't understand what that means. I don't understand what it means to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, simply to say that everything that God gave Jesus, he has given to Paul Mills. Now, that blows my mind. That is so big, I can't even go there. But that's what he said, because I have been made his child. How was I made his child? By believing in the sacrifice of what Jesus did on the cross for me. In your notes, I make the statement that whenever we go through difficult experiences, we are often filled with self-doubt about our own value and self-worth. Whenever we go through difficult experiences, we are often filled with self-doubt about our own value and self-worth. Satan puts thoughts into our minds that said, if you were really a worthwhile person, this wouldn't have happened to you. You must be inferior. You must have something wrong with you. Or God wouldn't have allowed this to happen. That loved one wouldn't have died. That person wouldn't have left you in divorce. That accident wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have lost that career. You wouldn't be sick if God really loved you. Therefore, there must be something wrong with you. And expressions such as, it's all over. There's no future for me. I've had it. Life's passed me by. Must be something inferior. I've just got a black cloud that hangs over me. Now, this works for Pastor Paul, and this religion stuff works for these TV preachers, but it doesn't work for me. There must be something wrong in my life, or I wouldn't be going through the heartache and the disappointment and the disillusionment that I'm going through. Anybody ever heard that stuff in your mind? Boy, I have. When you go through these hard places, the devil is right there to make you think God doesn't love you, God doesn't care about you, and that you do not have a future. Genesis 1:26 in your note says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, God is speaking in the plural there because he is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct personalities. And so he uses the word, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Ladies and gentlemen, we were created in the perfect image of God. Now, sin sought to destroy that. It sought to mar it. It sought to hide us from God. And the sin of Adam and Eve caused them to hide their face from God. And yet, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take my place on the cross so that I could be fully restored into perfect relationship with God, forgiven and made as if I had never sinned, given the gift of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are here this morning, if you have called upon Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior to forgive you of sin, I want you to know you have been made perfect in the eyes of God. You say, but Paul, I'm not perfect. I know that, but God looks at you through the blood of his Son. It's called righteousness. He has made you righteous, not because you're perfect, not because you're good, but because He loves you. And He sees you in perfection. You are unique. You are a divine original. Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms 139. Psalm 139. I want you to see a few things this morning, and I pray this will be a blessing to you. Psalm 139, one of my favorite passages, beginning in verse 13. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Ladies and gentlemen, you are not an accident. You were designed by God. I have in your notes Ephesians 1 and 4 says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." Don't ask me to explain everything I know about that. I just simply know God saw me before the world began. And He said, "I want Paul Mills. I'm going to create him. I'm working in his life. And I have a plan and a purpose." Now, Satan has come to rob and kill and destroy that. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." The purposes of God. Ladies and gentlemen, just as each snowflake is unique, just as each blade of grass is unique, so you are unique. God put you together. There's only one of you, and God has designed and created you for a purpose. When the storms come, when the battles come, when the difficulties come, Satan will try to convince you God has forgotten you, you don't have a purpose. Yes, you do. And I would remind you that the battle you're going through is part of the process of God creating you and making you perfect. Romans 8:28, we've quoted so often, "For all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose." I am forgiven spiritually the moment I call upon Christ. Then that process of restoration, that process of making me like Him. One of the worst crimes you can commit against yourself is to play the comparison game. Let me tell you how the comparison game works. The comparison game takes an area of your weakness and looks at somebody else's strength. You look at somebody like Jim Barra. Maybe you can't carry a tuna in a bucket. We don't have Jack Lowry here, but I'm told he can't carry a tuna in a bucket. Are there any kin folks to Jack Lowry here this morning? And you look at somebody like the New Vision Trio, and you hear them singing, and the devil says, "Boy, you must be a bad person. You can't sing like those." You know what? God has given you gifts that they probably don't have. They may not can cook like you can. They may not can keep records and books like you can. They may not. God has given each of us gifts, but He will cause you to see an area of your weakness, look at somebody else's strength, and convince you you don't have value. Let me tell you another way He does this. He will cause you to look at what you've gone through in life. Well, you've suffered the death of a loved one. You've suffered this loss. You've suffered that loss. That person hasn't gone through that. God must love them more than He loves you because they haven't suffered like you have suffered. And the comparison game begins to start and the root of bitterness begins to build in our life. Not understanding that God has a purpose for each of us and everything that happens to us is part of the process that God is going to use. We talked about Job last week as he suffered loss. But he kept his integrity and he kept praising God and God restored him back more than he had. Remember, God will not put more on you than you can bear. He knows what you can take and He's going to use those experiences in your life. It's a part of the process of your healing and of the ministry that God wants to give to you. God created you. Christ redeemed you. God loves you just like you are. I heard a story many years ago about a young boy, this was back before the day of video games, that made a little boat, a sailboat. And he spent weeks making it so perfectly and painted it, and it was beautiful. And He lived up in the northeast in an area where there were large lakes, and so he put a string on this sailboat, and the first day he took it out, it worked perfectly. The wind caught the sails, and it was moving, and a big wave came and capsized it. The string broke, and it just drifted out into the middle of this huge lake, and he had no way to get it. And the little kid's heart was just broken because he had spent so much time and his love on that sailboat. Several weeks later, he was in town, and he walked by a toy store. Looked in the window, and guess what? There was his boat. And he went inside and said, Mister, that's my boat. I made that boat. He said, son, I don't know who made that boat. Somebody came in here and sold it to me. I paid a price for it. If you want the boat is X number of dollars. The boy was heartbroken. But that's my boat. Son, if you want the boat, you're going to have to pay the price. That little boy might as well have been $1 million. Well, the little kid went back home and finally began to work and scrape the money. It took him weeks to scrape it together. Went back to the store owner. Put the money on the counter. The man went and got the boat. He looked at the little boat and said, little boat, you're mine. You're twice mine. I made you and I bought you. Ladies and gentlemen, he made us. We were lost in sin, drifting on the shores. When he saw us, and he bought us. Twice mine. You're not an accident. You're not a coincidence. God knew you before the foundation of the world. He called you to be his sons and his daughters. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. Jesus Christ died not only to save you from sin and from eternity apart from him. He died to restore your dignity, your self-worth, the courage and the strength that is in you of saying, I am a child of God and God has a plan for my life. And I will not surrender my future to my past. I will not surrender what God has ahead for me because of what's happened to me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you woke up this morning and you breathed air, God had a reason for you breathing air today. If he wanted you not to be here, he could have arranged for that. Amen? God has a plan for us. In your notes, I have the phrase, make this glorious realization that Jesus loves me. The story is told many years ago of Karl Barth, one of the great theologians of the 20th century. German theologian who wrote many, many volumes. He was prepared. He was in Chicago, came to Chicago from Germany to give lectures at one of the major seminaries there. And before the lecture, a newspaper reporter interviewed him and said, Dr. Barth, you're known as probably the greatest theologian in the world. Your writings have touched thousands of people. What is the greatest theological truth that you have ever discovered? Without hesitation, he said, it's a song that my mother taught me on her knee when I was a little boy. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Ladies and gentlemen, you can reduce all of it down to this. He loved me enough to die for me. Now let me tell you something. If he loved me that much, it's okay for me to love myself. We sometimes say, I want to be like Jesus. Well, what is Jesus like? Jesus loves me. Well, if I'm going to be like Jesus, then I need to love me. I need to see that God has value for me. I need to see that God has a plan. God has a purpose in my life. And I'm not going to surrender that plan and that purpose because somebody died or because somebody divorced me, or because of sickness or an accident or something that happened. God still has a reason for my being here. And I will not surrender that to the negative events that have taken place in my life. Matthew 19:19 in your note says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I can't love you if I don't love me. See, if I hate me, if I think I'm no good, if I think I'm sorry, you know what? I'm going to think you're no good and sorry too. But if I realize that God has forgiven me, God's redeemed me, God has a plan for my life, I look at you and I say, God's forgiven you, God's redeemed you, and God has a plan for your life. I can only love you as I am loved. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. You know what the devil loves to do? He loves to bring up your past, condemn you. Don't you realize what you did? Don't you realize this day, that day, this thing, that thing? No, I'm forgiven. And when he forgives, as I said last week, he also forgets. Nothing more healing than to accept the mercy and the forgiveness of God and let Him do a work in your life. I heard the story of an artist, a very famous artist, who was doing a portrait. And he went down to the Skid Row area, found a derelict, hair matted, clothes disheveled, hadn't shaved, just a horrible mess. And he said, I'm going to do a portrait. Would you sit for me for this portrait? I'll pay you so many dollars a day just to come and sit and let me draw you. And the derelict said, well, fine. So he would take the money every day, go get drunk that night, and show up the next morning, and this painter would paint him. But the painter never would let him see the portrait. He would just cover the canvas up at night. And this took place for a number of days. Finally, he was through. And he paid the man the last payment. He said, thank you so much. And the derelict said, you know, I appreciate the money. Do you mind me seeing what you painted? And so the artist took the canvas off, and there was an immaculately dressed and groomed man. Looked like him in the face, but hair was perfect. Beard was perfect. The clothes were immaculate. An executive-looking man. And the derelict turned to the artist and said, I don't understand. I've been coming for days. You've been paying me to sit here. This doesn't look like me. He said, that's the way I saw you could be. And the derelict said, if that's the way you saw I could be, then I will become that man. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a plan. He saw you from the foundation of the world while you were still in your mother's womb. God had a plan for you. Don't you surrender that plan to the bumps, to the bruises, to the hurts, to the disappointments that you've had in your life. You be the man. You be the woman that God has called you to be. Someone once said, I'm not where I ought to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm in that process of becoming that man, that woman that God has. God wants to restore you. He wants to use you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you this. We're all God's got. I look at you and I look at me and I say, God, are you in trouble? No, he's not in trouble. He's given the gifts. He's given the callings. He's given the power. He's given the energy. Everything that you need to fulfill the plan of God in the earth, he's put within us. We are his people, called by his name, given his power. God has saved you so that you can bring salvation to someone. God has healed you so that you can bring healing to someone. God has allowed the processes in your life to show forth His glory. As we talked about the man last week that had been lame for all those years, and God healed him. You're not too old. You're not washed up. It's not over. God has a plan. I close with this. I'm so glad that the Scripture not only records successes, but failures. I identify a lot more with the failures, Brother Harold, than I do the successes. I look at the life of David. That guy messed up, guys. He had so much going for him. Anointed by God, God's power, God's presence. But his eyes begin to wander. You know the story. He lusted after Bathsheba, committed adultery. To cover up the adultery, he had to murder Uriah, the husband. When Nathan, the prophet of God, showed up, he had to lie to the prophet of God. God had to allow some judgment in his life. But because God loved him, God never forsook him. I wish I had time to read to you Psalm 51 this morning. You need to jot that in your notes and in your private time this week. Just read Psalm 51. That is David's prayer of repentance. He said, Lord, restore me. Renew the joy of my salvation. And I look at the life of David and I see how God mightily used that man after he had messed up. after he had gone through tragedy and heartache, because he was a man after God's heart. You may be here this morning, you failed, you've gone through the same, say, I wish I hadn't. That's all right. God said, I will forgive and I will forget. You may have gone through heartache. None of your fault. Just like in the life of Job, we talked about last week, there was no sin in Job's life. They tried the whole book of Job to find sin. There was no sin. It was just a test. God said, I want to see what it's made out of. Because of that, God restored him. And his latter years were greater than his former years. Don't you let the devil beat you up. Because you've gone through some heartache and some trial and some loss in your life, and make you think that God doesn't love you, God doesn't care, and God doesn't have a plan. He does have a plan for you. And that plan begins with your accepting the gift of His Son, Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you have never said that yes to Christ, forgive me of sin, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, this is the morning that He wants to come in and make you new. May we bow our heads, please. Lord, I thank You so much that You loved us. You loved us so much that You came to this world. You took our place on the cross. Lord, You were bruised. You were pierced. You were beaten. You took our shame, our sin, our failure, and You paid for it that we might be forgiven and have the gift of eternal life. So, Lord, I thank You today that You have a plan for us. You even saw this service this morning. You knew that we would be here. And Lord, this may be someone's appointed hour to say yes to You. Thank You for that. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many would be here if you say, Paul, I do not know the certainty of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I do not have the peace that if I were to die this moment, that I would spend eternity with Christ. But I do believe that Jesus is God's Son. I do believe He died on the cross for my sin. And I want to ask Him to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to forgive me. I want to receive Christ as my personal Lord today. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You just slip up a hand wherever you may be and say, I do not have that peace, Paul, but I want to have it. Pray for me. I need that peace of God this morning. Wherever you may be. How many of you here this morning and you would say, Paul, I've allowed circumstances of my life, the loss, the hurts, the disappointments, the failures, the cloud, the vision of God's plan in my life. I've been reacting to the negative things rather than saying, God, use me and take me and make me a blessing and make me a channel. And I want to ask Him by His grace today to help me make a turn in my life that from this day forward, I will begin to praise Him because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want to affirm the plan God has in my life, and I want to put the past behind me and move forward into the things God has before me, and I make that commitment before Christ this morning. Can I just see your hand? I need to make that turn in my life. I see several hands, many this morning. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You are at work within us. You're so good, so merciful, so loving, so gracious. Thank You, Lord, today that we can find our peace in You, in Jesus' name.
This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website. Or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.